Well, this morning, I'm excited to get into the Word. We have a whole new study we're starting today, and you've been in the right place at the right time. Just want to say welcome to all of you, those of you who are visiting and those who are here from a long way away. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. I pray that you had a wonderful New Year's celebration, and I pray all the blessing of the Lord upon you in your obedience to the faith this year as you obey Him and follow Him and persevere in the Lord, that this will be the best year you've ever had. And it may be the most fruitful year you've ever had, that you'll see the Lord's grace in your life. And I pray that you will bear much fruit for the kingdom's sake, since that is your destiny in the Lord. And I pray that you will not experience trials and difficulties that are too great for you. I pray that you will find in the Lord your strength and your joy. And I pray that your joy will be full. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, huh? A wonderful New Year's celebration full of Thanksgiving on Monday night. I hope you didn't stay out too late, and I hope Tuesday was a great day. But today's a great day. Turn to your neighbor and say, today's going to be a great day. How many of you were here last week for the sermon? Anybody? A couple of hands? Well, I tell you what, last week we got to the end of the Gospel of Matthew. After 2 full years, I mean literally 2 full years to the Sunday, of teaching out of the Gospel of Matthew, and it was a wonderful adventure, a huge journey into discipleship. Matthew's Gospel is pure discipleship. It's such an amazing story. It shows us the Master, Jesus, and lets us walk with Him and watch Him as He performs miracles through the streets of the little towns in Galilee, and even through all those villages around Nazareth and further up around the lakeshore, and then down along the Jordan River into Jerusalem, and we follow Him all the way through as He raises people from the dead and heals people from their sick beds, and it's awesome. And I don't know about you, but I found that study was so shaping for my life. It fashioned and molded me, and it made me, I believe, a different person. I really do. Well, the discipleship of the gospel has now come to the place where we are going to move into the mission of the church, and we're going to be studying the book of Acts for the next couple of years, I'm sure. It took us 2 years to do Matthew. I'm sure it's going to take a couple of years to do the book of Acts, but that excites me because it's a good story. For one, I just got to say, I mean, the writing, Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, he just has such a wonderful way of writing. He just sucks you right in. It makes you feel like you're right there, and I love it. It's an epic story. It's full of adventure. It's full of danger and peril. It's a story that is just sometimes too amazing to. I mean, you look at it, you think, wow, that's incredible. How did that happen? Did that really happen? I mean, sometimes you look at it and think, is that just myth or is that for real? I mean, seriously, it's got stories of angels. It's got stories of demons. It's got stories of shipwrecks and jail time. And it's got stories of stonings and beatings. And it's got stories of martyrdom for the sake of the Lord and the name of the Lord. And it's got stories of incredible triumph. It's got stories of escape in the middle of the night in a basket down the walls of Damascus. It's got incredible stories of God breaking through, people getting bitten by snakes and not dying. It's got amazing stories of proconsuls getting saved and giving their hearts to Jesus, and kings hearing the gospel of Jesus, literally within just decades of Jesus's resurrection. It's an amazing book. It's absolutely wonderful. It's chock full, and it's, of course, written in short form so that 33 years worth of experience are just compiled in those 28 chapters of the book of Acts. And it's amazing. It's really amazing. I am looking forward to reading this with you. Like I said, the gospel stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those stories talk about discipleship. They talk about relationship. They show us Jesus, and in seeing Jesus, we see the Father. And it's an amazing, miraculous thing. It's the culmination of all the expectation and the hope of thousands of years of mankind and the Jewish people and their expectation of Messiah, who by God's grace and through their faithfulness to the Lord held on, and there was a remnant of them who loved the Lord all their days. And through that remnant, God brought the seed of David, the root of David, and He gave us Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and we're so grateful for that. And there in those gospel stories, we see that miracle, that expectation, that hope fulfilled. And then He dies, and we're shocked. And the gospel stories are all building up to that climax of the crucifixion story. And as we've talked about before, that becomes, it seems, X marks the spot. That's the place, the pivotal point of the universe. It's what God had planned from before the foundations of the earth. The Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. And that becomes the very first dot on the canvas of God's creation. God built it all from the cross. And we see all of that. And then He is raised from the dead, and it's shocking, and it's hard to believe, and people are bewildered, and they don't understand, and some doubt, and some hesitate, but others worship, and others see Him, and others touch Him. And in those post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ, which we spent the last few weeks looking at, we see the miraculous revelation that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Jesus, who was the God who built the universe, who spoke and it was, is the same Jesus that was born in that manger and raised in that Galilean village and who died on that cross. All those things that He said and did in His 33 years, all those things in His 3.5 years of ministry, all those things that He said remain true, because when He was raised from the dead and met with the disciples post-resurrection, He said the same things. He spoke the same things. He looked a little different. They couldn't recognize Him. Not at first. They were looking, and He would do things. He'd break the bread. They'd recognize Him in the breaking of the bread. Or maybe it was in Him calling out their name that they would say, "Oh, it's Him." Like when He called Mary, "Mary," and she recognized it was Jesus. Or when He said to the disciples, "Throw your nets on the other side," and John turns to Peter and he says, "It's the Lord." He looked a little different. He was dressed a little different. He could walk through walls and stuff, but the message that He spoke was still the same. Nothing had changed. And that was miraculous and amazing, because you and I need to know that. The God who is Jesus Christ, okay? Jesus who is the Lord, who is God. We can relate to Him the same way that they related to Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we look at that and we say, wow, that's amazing. And if the gospel stories had been the end of it and we didn't have the book of Acts, we might be tempted to think, well, that's all fine and well for them. We're 2,000 years removed from that time. It's all fine and well for them to believe those things. We don't know. We don't have eyewitness accounts. Or they say they're eyewitnesses, but it's so far removed from us. How do we even believe them? There could be all kinds of skepticism in your mind and criticism over what was said and what wasn't said and what belongs really to the Jesus, what words were His and what words weren't. You might get all caught up in those sorts of things, but you might also get to the place where you say, well, it was nice for Jesus, but that doesn't work for me. The book of Acts takes the church on a mission. And the book of Acts is there recorded for us and given to us as evidence that everything Jesus said actually works. It works, not just for Jesus doing it, but it works for His disciples who do it. Jesus always said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments, right? Isn't that what He said? If you love me, you'll keep my word. That's what He said. Well, the book of Acts is evidence that those who kept His word got everything that He promised they would get. And so it stands as a testament to you and to me that we who are now 20 centuries removed from that amazing time still can walk in the same power and the same evidence of the presence of God and the same promise of His ever-present help. We can walk in that today because it worked for them then. In the absence of the physical Christ, they were not without God. And I think that is the overarching theme of the book of Acts, is that in the absence of the present Jesus, in the absence of that tangible Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come to fill the church. You know, it's amazing. We just celebrated Christmas, right? And you remember that one of the big words that we always sing about at Christmas is that name of God, Emmanuel. Remember? Yeah? You've sung that name before, haven't you? It's a beautiful name, Emmanuel. What a lovely name. If I had more kids, I don't know. It's just, anyway. But what a beautiful name, Emmanuel. It means God with us, right? One could think, how could it get any better than that? How can it get any better than that? Emmanuel, God with us, the culmination of the hope of the ages. Well, it does get better than that. it does get better than that, because in the Gospel of John, somewhere in John chapter 14, I think it is, Jesus says, maybe it's John 16, Jesus says, unless I go away and leave, the Holy Spirit cannot come. And he says, he will be with you and he will be in you. Oh, wait a second. Emmanuel, God with us. The Holy Spirit, God in us. Okay, things just like got exponentially, totally, radically different. All right, I'm just saying. Well, we're going to take a long time to look at that. There are 28 chapters of looking at God in us. Okay, and that's what the book of Acts is all about. So here we have discipleship in the Gospels, and you have mission in the book of Acts. We're going to take a good look at that, because you and I need to know that we have been saved for a purpose. We've been saved so that we can worship God. We've been saved so that we can glorify God in our lives. We've been saved so that we might reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've been saved that we might have an expectant hope of His soon return. Well, there are a lot of things in today's message that I want you to hear. But in order to do that, we'll have to actually go to the Scripture. So why don't you open up your Bibles, and we'll go to Acts chapter 1. And we're going to read there. Then I'm going to give you some brief history and background to the book. Are you guys okay with that? Yeah. Yep. You guys don't mind a little teaching, do you? Somewhere in there, I'll throw in a little preaching as well. You know, we'll just toss things out at you. But when I read the Bible, I just flip into teacher mode. I can't help it. It's just so chock full. And I spent so much time just eating the stuff and chewing it and oh man, I'm so excited. I got to share it. All right, Acts chapter 1. And the title of this morning's message is Promises, Promises.